I asked you last week to do one thing this past week that would get you toward your hopes, your dreams, your vision, where you want to end up. What might be one thing that you did this week to try to propel yourself forward? Here's a couple examples. Maybe watch one less hour of TV or YouTube so that you can listen purposefully to a podcast that might be geared toward where you want to be or where you want to go. Maybe read a book that is geared toward something positive. Maybe sit quietly before God, listening for your idea. You know, everybody who is of great has great wealth says this: it was just one idea. And then when you dig deeper into their testimonies, it's because they took time to listen. They took time to get quiet. Maybe just lay on their bed and say, okay, I'm listening. One lady's testimony is she was so desperate that she actually got down on her knees and said, I'm not getting up from my knees until I hear your voice. I am not, and she didn't. She was there a long time. But she finally got the one idea from God. She now is beyond what she could have asked or thought. And not just financially. So to do these things, not always so simple, because life is busy. So last week, we looked at Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16. I'm hoping we get back to that. But I have to admit, the more I'm diving into the subject of the Father, I'm really, really getting more revelation of what Pastor went through when he said, I really need you to come every night so I can teach something because there's so much. I'm like, oh my gosh, he wasn't kidding. But first, I want to build a really firm foundation of love. And there's a reason. We talked last week about the word Abba. Abba is intimate. It's respectful. It's like Papa, Daddy. It's very, very intimate, very personal. And I also mentioned last week a few reasons why when people think of the word or hear the word Father, they might not get a warm and fuzzy feeling. You can listen to the message last week to hear more about that. And then I asked, what is your image of Papa? And I want to go back to that because I realize as I'm digging more deeper and deeper into the subject of a father, that if you don't know that, if you don't have a healthy image, a healthy feeling, at least a little bit of warm and fuzzy when you think about a father, you are not going to receive the blessings that are sitting right there for you. You're just not, because you're not going to open yourself up and be as vulnerable and childlike as you need to be, as I need to be. And I've already realized some of my roadblocks, and they're my perceptions. My perceptions of what I remember, my perceptions of what I thought, my perception of what was happening. It was my reality. And in most cases, it's still my perception, so it's still my reality of what happened when I was 4, 5, 10, 15, 21, whatever. But that perception, remember, is going to get in my way of discerning what really happened. It's important to know what your Papa image is, because in order to receive everything that Jesus paid for and all the blessings the Father has waiting for us, that image needs to be one that we are willing and wanting to get close to and embrace. So for this week, we're going to talk a lot about fathers, and that's why I want to make sure we stay really grounded on love. Because this is not about guilt, this is not about condemnation, that this is not about, for either male or female, coulda, woulda, shoulda, in raising my children or in my relationship with a father or not having a father. When a father, not just a man, there's a huge difference. When a father is in a home, there is a sense of security that leads to peace. And where there's peace, nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Which means that that covers every level of life, emotional, social, financial, all of it. So when there's a father, not just a man, because there's men out there making babies. They're not a father. And that's why a lot of us are broken. There's no peace there. That's where it's missing and it's broken. 1 John 14:6-9. Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, and also the life. This is Jesus. I'm the road, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. Verse 7. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've seen him. And Philip said in verse 8, Master, show us the Father. Then we'll be content. And then Jesus said in verse 9, you've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where's the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And then he says, the words I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father resides in me. He crafts every word. He tells me what to say. And it ends up creating a divine act. Verse 11. Believe me, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see. Believe the works that are happening. When the Father tells you, just like Jesus, to do something, there is going to be an act afterwards. Somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get financially blessed. Something good is going to happen. If you can't believe I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, if you can't believe that, then at least believe what you're seeing. Verse 12, the person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. Verse 13, from now on, whatever you request and lines up with what I'm doing and what I've been doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen. The Father's going to be seen by what we do. The Father's going to be seen by what His Living Word Church does. The Father's going to be seen as we reach out. The Father is seen as we help our brothers and sisters with meals. The Father is seen as we help them with rent, house payments, whatever, a ride. That's how the Father is seen. And that was the Message translation, by the way. So we're going to be talking a lot about the lack of fatherhood in the world. And we're judging by the fruit. We're judging by what we see. We see broken families. We see lack. We see gangs. By research, they know gangs exist because especially young men, but also young women, are looking for a place to belong. And it becomes their family. They're looking for a place to belong. And women play a major part in the lack of fatherhood in the world. A major part because of brokenness. For both the sake of men and women, let's go to Romans 8:1-6. Romans 8:1-6. Because this is where we need to be for this message. So there is now no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. Say, I'm not condemned.
I'm not condemned.
I'm not condemned.
I'm not condemned.
For my past.
For my past.
I'm not condemned.
I'm not condemned.
For my present.
For my present.
And I'm not condemned.
I'm not condemned.
For my future.
For my future.
So there is now no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ Jesus. Verse 2. For the power of the life-giving Spirit, and this power is mine through Christ Jesus, has freed me, get this, has freed me from the vicious circle of sin and death. Verse 3. We aren't saved from sin's grasp by knowing the commandments of God, because we can't and don't keep them. But God put into effect a different plan for us. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful and destroyed sin's control over us by giving him, Jesus, as a sacrifice for our sins. Verse 4. So now we can obey God's laws, for we follow after Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
And no longer obey the old evil nature within us. Those who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things all the time, and they're controlled. But we who are controlled by Holy Spirit, we think about the things that please the Spirit. Verse 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But, it's always that but God thing, but God, but God. But letting the Spirit, Holy Spirit, control your mind leads to life and peace.
Amen.
And then in Romans 10:14, it says, without a preacher, how will they know? But how shall they ask him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him if nobody tells them? And that's exactly what has happened to fatherhood and motherhood. Because of cultural changes, changes in distance between families, an increase of broken homes, we have not been taught how to be fathers and how to be mothers. And it doesn't take any teaching to reproduce. You can figure that out on your own. And that's what's happening. People are figuring it out on their own. But then they come home with baby, and they don't know how to be a mom, and they don't know how to be a dad, and we end up with broken families and then a broken society, and thus the condition of the world at this point. So there's no condemnation if for some reason you have a child who is currently not living the way you want them, would prefer for them to live. Because this is also the season for what we call prodigals to come back.
Yes.
But we have to put our mouth to work and call them back. But we're getting them back.
Amen.
Maybe they've never been here before. Maybe they were wee little. Maybe they don't even know the word. I didn't know the word. I didn't hear about Jesus till I was 25 in the United States of America.
That's right.
It's never too late. We hear testimonies all the time. I'm 85. Maybe it's really on the deathbed. Who cares? But all we want for sure is they make it to heaven. We want to steal as many from the enemy as we can.
Yes.
That is our goal. Yes. Fishers of men, so he cannot snub his nose at our Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So a preacher is, I thought this was interesting. It's a messenger, someone proclaiming, someone telling good tidings of good things. And one version actually says this. Unless the word of Jesus Christ is preached, there is nothing worth listening to. That was a wow. There is nothing other than the word worth listening to. Unfortunately, we're listening. We have been listening. It's time to turn off. Turn that volume off. So no condemnation. We didn't know because we weren't taught. But this year, we're going to change that.
Yes.
It's not too late. Let's say your children are gone. I don't have biological kids, but I have children and grandchildren. I know Annette doesn't have biological kids, but how many people have adopted her?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. You know, if we looked in the spirit, we'd see children tailing along. So I want to learn how to be the best mom, grandmom, you know, spiritual, maternal example that I can be. And this is the year we're going to do it.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
I want you to say this after me. Adonai, you have blessed me.
Adonai, you have blessed me.
And Adonai, You are keeping me.
You are keeping me.
Adonai.
Adonai.
You are making your face.
You are making your face.
To shine upon me.
Shine upon me.
Adonai.
Adonai.
You are gracious to me.
You are gracious to me.
Adonai.
Adonai.
You lift your face toward me.
You lift your face toward me.
And you give me peace.
And you give me peace.
Adonai.
Adonai.
You have marked me.
You have marked me.
With your name.
With your name.
It's a mark.
It's a mark.
Of individuality.
Of individuality.
Honor.
Honor.
Authority.
Authority.
And character.
And character.
You have blessed me.
You have blessed me.
That's your daddy.
Amen.
That's your daddy. And that's the daddy we need to get to know.
Yes.
And when we get to know him, nothing will make us afraid.
Amen.
Because we know that we have a daddy that is the most powerful person in the whole universe. He created everything, and we can go right up to his lap. Have you ever done that where it's like, I'm telling my dad, and you ran as fast as you could home? Screaming. So that's where we want to get.
Amen.
We want to get to that point.
Amen.
The devil comes, we hear his threats, and we go, let's say I haven't matured in an area where I can just say, devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. We are going to reach that point. But I still have little areas where I run back home going, dad! Dad comes out on the porch and he stands there, and I go behind him. My dad's here. But I didn't have that in every area. I need it.
Yeah.
I met with a friend, and I told her I was going to steal this from her. I met with a friend this week, and we were talking, and she said, you know, I think a good name for a podcast would be The Hole in the Soul. The Hole in Your Soul. I said, I'm totally stealing that. We need the holes in our souls to be healed, because that's our daddy. That's our daddy. All right, now we're going to go to Hebrews 4. We're going to look at the whole chapter 1 through 16, but I want to give you a little bit of background. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. We're told it's probably, we know that they were friends with a friend to Timothy, probably ran with Paul's circle. So we're told that he's probably a second-generation Christian, likely a Jewish Christian. And at the time it was written, Christians were being severely persecuted. So it's likely that the letter was written to a Jewish Christian that lived in Palestine or in Rome, and they were being pressured to give up Jesus. They were being pressured to revert to Judaism, or to at least severely water down the gospel. And what the author of this particular book points out repeatedly is Jesus is better.
Amen.
Jesus is better. And then any of those other choices, Jesus is better.
Amen. The best.
The best. That's right. The entire book focuses on supremacy and the supremacy and sufficiency of Jesus the Christ as a revealer and a mediator of God the Father's grace. And get this, I thought this was surprising to me. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus is referred to by 20 different names. Remember how we talked about we need to know who we're calling out to? We need to know the name we're calling out to. I'm not going to call out to Jehovah Jireh if I need healing. I mean, he is my provider, and he can provide healing, but that has more to do with the monetary. Now, he can still bless me in my ignorance. He's a gracious and merciful God. But it would be better as I mature to know who I'm calling on. Hebrews 4, 1 through 16, verse 1. Although God's promise still stands, his promise that all may enter his place of rest. That's where we're headed.
Amen.
This life is the enemy is trying to keep us so knocked off center. So busy, so stressed, so distracted. That's what he tried to do this last week with me. So he said, although God's promise still stands, his promise that all may enter, doesn't mean all will, but all may enter his place of rest. We ought to tremble with fear because some of you may be on the verge of failing to get there after all. So this is when they were coming out of the 40 years of in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. And they're coming out of it, and he's saying, okay, now it's time to come and enter the rest. You should know by now the things that were, it was disobedience that kept you out of his rest to begin with. And all the life experience you've seen in these last 40 years, okay, please use it to do better. Amen?
Amen.
That's just like us today. Someone did one of the most remarkable and important things that I think we all need to do. There was an individual that someone said to them, you've got this going on in your life. And instead of going, what? I can't believe you just said that to me. What they did was they went, oh, okay. And then they went to the Lord and said, is any of that true? And the Lord was able to show them where some of it was true. Well, that's an open door for repentance. That's an open door for renouncing maybe a generational curse. That's an open door for healing. That's an open door to get rid of the hole in your soul.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So self-examination. If someone comes to you and they say something to you, don't get all bent out of shape. That's what I used to do, and it didn't get me very far. And then I eventually learned, just take breath. Because if there's even 1% true in the statement, there's an open door for the enemy. We don't want that. We don't want that. It's time for us to take responsibility for our own perceptions, for our own thoughts, for the things that are in our heart. You know, when we, 34 years in the ministry, this statement has never failed. So please take it to heart. When I accuse someone of something, it's what's in my heart. When they accuse me of something, it's what's in their heart. It just has never failed. It may not have seemed so in the beginning, but when we got down to brass tacks, as they say, when we got down to the base level of what was really going on, if it was me, I realized, oops, I'm projecting a hole in my soul on that person. I'm projecting a hurt from my life on that person. I'm projecting what's in my heart. I'm growing up this year. I'm taking responsibility for my attitude. I'm taking responsibility for my whatever it is. And that includes if someone says something to you, don't just brush it off. It might be Holy Spirit trying to say to you, this is what's going on. You think you're okay in this area, Michelle. But you got some hurts. So let's just open the wound and clean it out. And yep, it's going to hurt. That's where I'm headed. And I hope you'll go there with me because we will be dynamos.
That's right. Amen.
And Cottage Grove will say, what on earth is going on in that building? There's fire coming out of the roof. Because we've gotten rid of the devil. We've gotten rid of the high places. We've gotten rid of anything he could find in us. And we've said, Jesus, you're the only door to the spirit realm we're taking. And that's when the authority we've already been given meshes with the power of Almighty God and nobody's going to stop us. Amen. Ooh, can I have a little better amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, verse 2. Verse 2. For this wonderful news, the message that God wants to save us has been given to us just as it was to those who lived in the time of Moses. There's nothing new under the sun. The message hasn't changed. He wants to save us. And saving has to do with every era of your life. And it's progressive. I got born again on October 21st of 1985. I was blessed enough to have somebody lead me into the baptism of the Holy Spirit the very same night. And that's from a girl who didn't know anything. I didn't even know how to, when they said turn to such and such a book, I had to ask the lady next to me, how do you do that? And then the Lord just took me from there. And I was told that night, go home, read for an hour, pray for an hour, and listen for an hour every night. I didn't know any better, so that's what I did. And I didn't know how to pray, so I read the word out loud. I thought, well, this is probably a good prayer. What did I know? So that was the start of my walk with the Lord. And that was level one. But then I started getting, as I read the word, I started getting saved in my thoughts, saved in my emotions, saved in my physical body, saved in my relationships. Then I finally get to the point where the Lord said, hey, I'm about to introduce you to this guy who's already ministering. I got you ready for this. I'm like, okay. All right. 34 years later, I'm saved to the point where you're allowing me to continue to lead this congregation to the wherever God's taking us. But I have a lot more saving to be done. I'm walking out my salvation. Amen. Every day.
Amen.
Every day. Hallelujah. So he said in verse 2, for this wonderful news, the message that God wants to save us, has been given to us just as it was to those who lived in the time of Moses. But it didn't do them any good because they didn't believe it. They didn't mix it with faith. That is probably the greatest gift that Pastor Don has given us. The base of faith that he has laid for us. The word of faith is so powerful, and we know this, the word cannot be done away with, it can't be changed, and it can't be altered. It is the word of life, it is the word of light. It renews our minds. The hole in our souls, in our emotions, and in our thoughts will only be eliminated by one thing. The word.
Amen.
You can go run around and take pills and see a doctor and see a psychiatrist and talk to a friend and have a girl's night out, a boy's night out, whatever. That's not going to heal the soul, the hole in your soul. It's only the word. Amen.
Yes.
And that is probably, to me, the greatest gift that Pastor has given us.
Amen.
Verse 3. For only we who believe God can enter into his place of rest. For only we who believe God can enter into his place of rest. And not just believe in God, we believe God.
Yes.
When you look back on Abraham, it didn't say Abraham believed in God. He did. It said Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's where we need to be. He has said, I have sworn in my anger that those who don't believe me will never enter in. Now, that wasn't his choice. That was their choice. They didn't believe. So the answer to the people out there that are saying, if God's so good, why are all these bad things happening? You got a part to play in it. You have to believe God and add faith to that belief. I have sworn in my anger. Good news is his anger is for a moment. That those who don't believe me will never enter in, even though he has been ready and waiting for them since the world began. So imagine you are at home. You have prepared a place. You've cleaned the house, you've decorated, you put up the tree, whatever, whatever. You are waiting for the guests to arrive. You've invited them. You're so excited, all the food's done, everything's ready. The front door's unlocked. You went out and you shoveled the driveway and the sidewalk and you salted. Everything is in place. And they don't show up. Whose choice was that? Whose choice was that? They don't show up. Their choice. And that's what happened here. He said, even though, as I swore in my anger, that those who don't believe, those who chose not to enter in, even though he's been ready and waiting for them since the world began. Everything prepared since the world began. We know he's ready and waiting because it is written that God rested on the seventh day of creation, having finished all that he had planned to make. Even so, they didn't get in. And God finally said, they, the disobedient and untrusting, shall never enter my rest. So he rested on the seventh day, having finished all that he had planned to make. Even so, they didn't get in. And finally God said, they, the disobedient and the untrusting, shall never enter my rest. That rest is for here. Rest is for here. That's where I want us to be. I believe that's where Holy Spirit wants us to be. I want my vision for where we're headed is that we all learn to rest. Because when we are truly obedient, we actually rest. This sounds simple. For me right now, it's not easy. I do it for a half a day on Sundays. When I go home on Sunday, I literally force myself not to do any work. That is the window of time that I've been able to carve out to just enjoy the Lord and just rest. So that's kind of like a half a point of obedience. But I'm trying to get there, and Holy Spirit's helping me. What I would like to see us do is transition each one of us individually, and then as a church, we will be better off for it, to transition into being able to have a full day of rest. Now, it's going to take, I know most of your lives, at least to some degree, you are going to have to seek Holy Spirit to figure out how to do that. Because I know life is busy. A lot of us are transitioning into a next phase of our lives. We're, you know, I mean, I've got some things going on that started that Pastor and I were going to do together. And I thought it was going to fizzle out, and it's not. So that is going to mean figuring out how to either add that in or transition or something. I need Holy Spirit to tell me, because I don't need to get any busier. I need to learn how to rest so I can hear my ideas from God, so I can honor him by not being so stressed out, but I can give him some time, more time. I want more time with him. Amen. We want to enter his rest. That's for now. Yet the promise remains, and some get in, but not those who had the first chance, the Jews, for they disobeyed God and failed to enter. But he has set another time for the coming. Thank you, Lord. And that time is now. Today is our coming. Today is our day. Today is our day to learn how to rest. And rest is obedience. It's right in the Old Testament. They called it a Sabbath. But he has set another time for coming in. That's now. He announced it through King David long years after the man's first failure to enter, saying in the words already quoted, today, this time, this time. This is what he's saying to us. Today, this time, when you hear him calling, don't harden your hearts. We watched the Israelites harden their hearts. We've watched generation after generation harden their hearts. He's still calling. He's still speaking. He says, this time when you hear the voice, this time, don't harden your hearts. This new place of rest he is talking about does not mean the land of Israel that Joshua led them into. If it were that, if that were what God meant, he wouldn't have spoken long afterwards about today being a time to get in. So there's a full and complete rest. Still waiting for the people of God. Say, that's me.
That's me.
There is a full and complete rest still waiting for the people of God. Jesus Christ has already entered there. He is resting from his work. Just as God did after the creation, verse 11. Let us do our best to go into the place of rest also, being careful not to disobey God as the children of Israel did, Amen. Thus failing to get in. Verse 12. For whatever God says to us is full of power. Has he said something to you? Has he given you a vision? Has he given you a word? Has he even when you close your eyes right now and do that, close your eyes right now, just look inside yourself. Your pastor used to, when he was going to pray over someone, he'd say, stop, close your eyes, look inside yourself and see if you can see that thing. See if you can see that maybe God spoke to you sometime. Or is there a dream? Or is there a thought? Is there a flicker of light? Is there a remembrance? He wants to take that and do something with it. For whatever God says to us is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger. It's cutting swift and deep. Listen to this. Cutting swift and deep into your innermost thoughts and desires with all their parts. It's exposing us for what we really are. That's good and that's bad. We read that, and I can tell you what happens to me. I think, oh, exposed for all that I am. I'm not really sure I like that. But that's a worldly view. A lot of times people don't like taking an exam, or they're trying to catch us not know something. We often feel like if somebody says, what are you doing? Even if they say it nice, what are you doing? Like I do. What are you doing? We can tend to feel like, ooh, did I do something wrong? That tends to be our first inclination. Did I just get caught doing something wrong? That's not what God wants. When we read the Word of God that says, for it's sharper, it's cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts and desires with all of our parts, exposing us for what we really are, He wants our relationship to be so intimate and close to Him that when we read that, we're actually excited. Because what we really are is so righteous and godly and fun that we want it to be exposed. It's just going to be a mind shift. And that's going to be getting rid of the hurts, getting rid of the judgments against us and our judgments against other people. When we can get rid of those and make a new baseline for us in the Lord, when we read things like that, we're going to be cool, exposing what I really am.
Amen.
I love it. I love it. I want everyone to see what the Lord is doing through me.
Amen.
Amen. He knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to all-seeing eyes of our living God. He already knows. If you're angry at Him, tell Him you're angry. If you're scared, tell Him you're scared. If you don't understand, tell Him you don't understand. He already knows. He knows about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. If you've got an idol, He knows about it. Talk to Him. Just do it. Nothing can be hidden from Him to whom we must explain all that we've done. Eventually, you're going to have to tell Him. But Jesus, the Son of God, is our great high priest who has gone to heaven itself to help us. Therefore, let us never stop trusting Him. Verse 15. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, since he had the same temptations we do, though he never once gave way to or gave in to them and sinned. Verse 16. So let us come boldly to the very throne of God and stay there. And stay there to receive His mercy and find grace to help us in times of need. Is this a time of need?
Amen.
You may have a time of need. In every decision you make, this is not a time to rely on your own understanding. We are not in a season any longer where there's kind of a lot of leeway if you make a mistake. There's grace and there's mercy, but you're going to see more consequences walked out because we're just getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord.
Yes.
And as we do that, yes, amen. And as we do that, we are expected to become more mature in the things of God and lean less and less and less and less on what we think should happen. Amen. We don't have a high priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. Experienced it all but the sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stop there. We need to know who our Father is. This is your life. Jesus paid for it with his. And he stepped aside. You've heard this before, but you'll hear it again. He stepped aside to watch what you would do with this wonderful, powerful gift called life. And now he is ever interceding, praying for you to reach your finish line. He reached his. Now he wants you to reach yours. You are as valuable to the Lord as you'll ever be. You don't have to do anything to increase his love or passion to you. But don't let that stop you from reaching a different level of love and passion for him. There's so many people out there that are like, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. I'd shake in my boots. And some days I do shake in my boots because I know he knows what's in my heart. You don't have to do anything to increase his love or passion to you. Don't let that stop you, though. Let that propel you into something exciting. So I just want to ask you, what's your plan this week to move toward that excitement? The life you're living is so individual. No one else can live it. Even if we both were doing parallel paths, same business, same whatever, my personality is different. My calling is different. That's all going to look different. We could all teach the same verse. It would come out different because we're different. You were born for a purpose. So say this after me, please. Adonai, you have blessed me.
Adonai, you have blessed me.
Adonai,
you are keeping me.
Adonai,
you are making your face
shine upon me.
Adonai,
you are gracious to me.
Adonai,
you lift your face toward me.
And you give me peace.
You have marked me
with your name.
A mark of individuality,
honor,
authority,
and character.
You have blessed me. Father God, I ask this. Help me to know what your plan is. Adonai, I say, not my will, but your will be done. Your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven through me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.